One psychologist, 20 plus years of experience, and thousands of patients. I'm Dr. Jennifer Pavlik-Bellingrat, and you're listening to the Psych with a Mic podcast. Let's get to it. Hello, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. Just a quick reminder that this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose or treat a mental health issue without consulting a qualified provider. If you think you need help with a psychological issue, be smart and reach out for an evaluation by a licensed professional. When someone says the phrase four-letter word, chances are that you think they're referring to a curse word. But the nastiest of the four-letter words is actually not a curse word at all. Nonetheless, it is causing you problems, and it's time to remove it from your vocabulary. That word is need. Think of it this way. True need is about life or death. Needs are things you literally can't live without. The truth is, the only things we need in this life, like in order to survive, to actually stay alive, our food, water, and shelter. That's it. Everything else is a want or a preference or maybe a choice. Now, most people use the word need when really want is the appropriate term. Think about it. A child says, I need my toy. Or a person says, I need to get that project done. Or I need to get in shape. Or I need to run some errands. No, you don't. You don't need any of those things to actually remain physically alive. You may want to get in shape or you may want to choose to take care of errands, but those are not life or death situations. So you might be asking yourself why exactly I'm making such a big deal about this. Two reasons, perspective and pressure. Let's unpack those. So in terms of perspective, recognizing what you need versus what you want, like, desire, prefer, wish for, choose, request, gives you perspective. That is, you truly realize what's important and what's not. Your perspective in this regard helps create the distinction then between choosing to have people in your life or do things for them versus feeling like you must or have to do these things. It's also a simple shift that may help you feel less disappointed when you don't get what you want in some circumstances. If you have that pressure associated with it, then it makes it more disappointing sometimes. The bottom line is everything in life is a choice. What to wear, who to spend time with, whether to get out of bed or go to work, what to study, and so on. For example, I don't need my husband in my life, like in order to survive. And he doesn't need me. But we prefer to be with each other. We love each other. We want to be married to each other. We enjoy it. We choose to keep each other in our lives. By contrast, when our children were little and couldn't fend for themselves, we needed to feed and care for them. Those things were crucial for their survival. So hopefully that distinction makes it a little bit clearer. Even in restrictive environments, you have to choose to see choices and wants versus needs or musts. Within the confines of any situation, you still get to choose whether you comply, whether you take action. And there's amazing freedom in seeing literally everything as a choice. Now, on to the second point about pressure. So when people use need versus want, they put a great deal of pressure on themselves. For example, I really need to help her, or I really need to do this for him. Implies a must situation that can result in putting yourself last way too often. This is known as shoulding on yourself, or as my grad school professor called it, musturbation. So remember those terms when you're putting undue pressure on yourself and use that realization as an opportunity to just shift your perspective a little bit to one of options, choices, and decisions that you're in control of. Now, let me make a distinction between need and needy. So I work with people every day who are needy in some way when they come to see me. In fact, that's why they come to see me. Usually it's because their wants aren't being met and they're asking for my help to make this happen in one way or another. Being needy in this sense is appropriate. Another example is after a loved one dies and the grieving friend or family member is needy emotionally. In those situations, we offer emotional support. That's normal. Now, note that even then, the person does not need us. He will not die without contact with us, but we're there to help buttress him emotionally, to boost him in a time of distress and upset. The same is true of a child of an abusive home whose psychological and emotional maturity may be lacking as an adult. This adult may be more needy than others for two reasons. One, maybe she wasn't given appropriate emotional information and training as a child. In fact, what she was given was actually inappropriate. And two, she doesn't know how to get her wants and wishes met appropriately, and so may come across as more parasitic than symbiotic in relationships, if you will. So you can see, neediness is appropriate at various times. It's also temporary in these cases. I want you to try this strategy out and see how you fare. Every time you're inclined to use the word need, replace it with want, prefer, choose, or even I'm going to. This may be very challenging at times, I realize, but just keep trying. Let's look at a couple of examples to maybe make this a little clearer. So instead of saying, I need to go for a walk today, say, I want to get a walk in sometime today, or I'm going to go for a walk today. Another example, if you're, let's say, helping your child with a project, instead of telling them what they need to get for the project or how they need to do it or go about it or approach it, try asking them what they think will be required, what it will take to complete the project. Now, if they're younger and they require more help, you can say, in order to complete the project, you'll want to get poster board, markers, magazines, scissors, and glue. Kids are constantly watching us as adults, learning from our behaviors. So these things are more important than you think. They pay attention to the words we use, and setting examples like this in small ways can have a big impact over time. Children learn what they live. They're little sponges absorbing everything around them, good and bad. There's freedom in simply changing your words, guys. That's what we're after here. It may not be a foolproof method, what I'm suggesting, but it's worth making a consistent effort at in order to shift your perspective and change the way things occur to you. Try it out and let me know what you think.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you'd go on and leave a 5-star review for me. And if you think this could be helpful to other people, I'd love for you to share this free resource to your social media feeds. You can share by tapping the menu button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on right now. Also, take a look at the show notes for information on all the different ways to reach me or see what else I've posted. And if you're interested in teletherapy or coaching with me, just shoot me an email through my website, drbellingrott.com. All right, that's it for today, y'all. Thank you so, so much for listening in. And until next time, I wish you peace, blessings, and fantastic mental health. Take good care and drink more water.